Visiting with us, we give you a especially warm welcome this morning. Some notices, they're on the sheet printed. Some of you may receive that via email. One or two just to highlight, and one or two additions that I neglected to put on, as I usually do. One notice is to say that Harry Witherspoon's mum passed away yesterday morning. So pleased to remember Harry, Linda and Paul and the rest of the family at this time. There's no funeral arrangements being made as yet, but please remember them in your prayers. Also, just to highlight that next week, next Sunday, we also have a soup lunch. Can you come, folks? We have a soup lunch after the service next Sunday morning. And that soup lunch, there'll be donations received for the work of the McDonald's who are out in Lusaka in Zambia. And as it turns out, the McDonald's are hoping to be with us on the first weekend of February, the first Sunday in February. And I'm hoping that they'll be sharing with us at that service. Christine is over for some tests down in Newcastle. So please pray for them, and Christine in particular, whose health has not been so good in the last wee while. So please pray for the McDonald's and support the soup lunch next Sunday after the service. other notices, just to say that tonight we meet here at 6 o'clock for evening worship. I'm doing a pulpit exchange with Phil here from Holyrood, and so Phil will be preaching preaching here this evening. And I'll be preaching over at Holyrood. During the week, there's the prayer meeting on Wednesday and the lunch club on Thursday. And also to say that the Record magazine, the one that looks like this now, a nice, hope it's not a prophetic image on the front, but the forecast says that it might be. So those are available at the back of the church. They're still in the box, so you'll have to wrestle with the box to get them out if you want one. So they're there at the back of the church. Let me read as a call to worship this morning, just a verse from the beginning of Psalm 122, where the psalmist says this: "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Well, we're going to sing a paraphrase of that psalm from Sing Psalms. We'll stand, and we're going to sing this to the tune Stuttgart, which is the tune for "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." To the Lord's house they were calling, and with joy I went with them. So let's stand to sing together.
My city.
Let's pray together. Lord, like the psalmist of old, we rejoiced and were glad when we heard that we were coming to meet with your people and to worship you today. And now we are here together as the body of Christ in this place before your presence, meeting with one another, and more importantly, meeting with you. We come to give you our thanks and our praise and to seek your blessing upon our lives. We rejoice together, for this is the day that you have made. We thank you for it. We thank you for this new day with all its possibilities and potential for good. Thank you for the beauty and the majesty of the world that you have created, that reminds us of your power and your glory. We praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We thank you that in him and through him we are justified and we enjoy peace with you, the living God. Lord, we are reminded that there's nothing in us, nothing that we have done, nothing that we have achieved that has put us in a right relationship with you. But rather, all that we need and all that we have needed is to be found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life of perfect obedience to your will, his perfect obedience to your law. We remember how he came to that which was his own, and they received him not. How he endured suffering and rejection and pain. We praise you that he lived the life that we could never live. And we thank you this morning for his death on the cross as our substitute. We thank you that there he took our place and our punishment. That there he won our salvation. That his death was for our benefit. That through the cross he took our sin, that we might take and receive the clothing of his righteousness. We thank you that death could not hold him, but that he was raised from the dead. We thank you that he rose again in power and victory. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we too have by faith been raised up to newness of life, and that our life is now hidden with Christ, who is seated at your right hand. Lord, bless us this morning as we set our minds on things above, as we confess our sins and seek afresh your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless us and grant us peace in our homes, that our families and friends and our community may reflect something of your goodness and grace. Bless us as a church, granting us your peace, that your name may be glorified, and that your Son would be honoured in our worship this morning. Lord, hear us now as we pray together in words that Jesus taught his first disciples to pray, saying,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Well, this morning we welcome back into our midst. Some people have been away for a little while. I'm thinking of Cameron and Karen and Calvin, and I'm also thinking of the Carters here as well, who've both been away in the United States of America. So, welcome back. It's good to have you. Good to have you back with us. And I was reading this week or the other week about a story from the United States of America. And it was one of these stories that was going around on social media. And it was a story about one of the states in America. How many states are in the United States? How many states? Five, six, how many? Somebody said 60? No. 50? Somebody got it right. Well done. Yes, 50, not 60 and 47 and not notes. And this is a story about one of those states, which is in the northwest of the United States. So if you look at a map of the United States, it's in the northwest. And it's a state called Oregon. You ever heard of that? Oregon? Yeah. It actually used to be under British rule until around about 1850. So there you are. So it used to be part of Britain, or British North America, as it was called then. Anyway, Oregon. What happened in Oregon the other week there? Some people might have heard this or might have seen it on the news. Well, they had a change of law. There was a big change in the law in Oregon. And the law change was this, that you were allowed for the first time in about, I think probably this law had been in for almost 70 years, 60 or 70 years. You were allowed to put petrol in your own car at the filling station. That was the law change. Big change in the law. Because up to that point in Oregon, you could not serve yourself. Now, we call it petrol station. What do they call it in America? Gas station. Yeah, gas station. Or sometimes even a service station. Sometimes I've heard that as well. But anyway, that's right. You weren't allowed to fill your own. And some of us here will remember a time in Britain when that was also the case, when you drove up and somebody jumped out and said, "How many gallons, madam, sir, whatever," and pour it in. You have to have a long memory to remember that. But that was the case, and it was caught. And this change in the law caused a lot of ructions in Oregon. People were very upset. People were very upset that they would they might have to serve themselves rather than someone come and serve them. And there were all sorts of pictures on social media, and I have to say they were all fake news or fake images, I think, of, you know, cars, and then the kind of thing from the thing lying on the ground, and petrol spilling out everywhere, cars driving into the thing and flames coming out and all this sort of thing. People saying, "Oh, the people in Oregon are just getting the hang of this, being able to fill your own petrol tank." And I was thinking about this difference between self-serving and somebody else serving you. And there's quite a difference. And I was thinking about the church, and I'm thinking, well, in the church, we are not to be self-serving. We are not to be just about ourselves. We're not simply to be looking after number one. We are to serve God, and we are to serve others. So if we were to think of our church as a gas station, or a filling station, or a petrol station, or maybe better, a service station, we are here to serve not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we serve Him, we're also called to serve one another, not simply to be looking after ourselves. Now, that's it, Calvin, yeah. There's not a law. I can't pass a law to say you must do this and you must do that. Well, I could try and do it, but I don't know how much effect it would have. But it's something that has to come from within us, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we look forward to serving Christ and to serving one another. Good to have you back, Tammy. She's very vocal this morning. So, if you think of the people in Oregon struggling with their self-serving and other people serving them and what they want, some people were saying, I'm going to drive up and I'm not going to sit in my car until somebody comes out and serves me and all this sort of thing. But let's remember that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're not self-serving. We're about serving our Lord Jesus and serving others. And let's make the opportunity in our church and in our fellowship to do just that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is the great servant. We thank you that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for the many. Lord, help us to enjoy the way in which he serves us and has served us through his life, death and resurrection. And Lord, may his spirit make us servants as we look out to others in our fellowship and beyond and seek to serve them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. We're going to sing together and we're going to sing a chorus, Bind Us Together with Cords That Cannot Be Broken. We haven't sung this for many a long year, but we're going to do so this morning. To read together in God's Word from Romans chapter 12, page 948 in the Church Bible, Romans 12 from verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 13. Romans 12, 3 to 13, and a little later in the service, Ray will be preaching from this passage. So let's read God's Word together. Paul writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is the word of God, and to his name be the praise and the glory. We're going to remain seated as our offerings are received. If you're visiting and the plate comes to you, simply feel free to pass that along. And we're going to sing the song that will go up on the screen, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. Together, let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your word that is trustworthy and reliable. We thank you for the way that it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the way that it reveals something of your plans and your purposes for our world, for the way it reveals something of who you are, all that you have done, and all that you have promised yet to do. Father, we thank you for the way that your word speaks into our lives, speaks into our hearts and into our minds. And we pray, our God and our Father, that your word would transform us and change us and make us more like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we draw near to you this morning as your people. A whole lot of different people, different experiences, different backgrounds, different histories. And yet for most of us, a common faith and love for the Lord Jesus. Lord, how we desire to serve him. How we desire to honour him, how we desire to make him known to others. We thank you for all that he's done for us, all that he's given us, all that he's blessed us with. And we pray, our God and Father, that we in turn may be a blessing to others, not simply to those closest to us, but also to those who are further away, to those that we don't know, and to those that we will meet even in this coming week. Father, you know our circumstances and our situations. You know those in our fellowship who are struggling, who are finding it hard, perhaps because just the problems and the everyday difficulties of life that press in, that bring with them stresses and strains of one kind or another. Stresses of family life, or of work or employment, or of no work. Stresses of relationship difficulties, other problems that perhaps no one else knows about. Lord, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that we can come to you and we can unburden ourselves and bring those prayers and petitions before you. We pray in particular this morning for those facing bereavement. We remember Harry and Linda and Paul, and also Harry's wider family, as his mum has passed away in these past hours. Lord, may you be near to them at this difficult time. May you uphold them. May you strengthen them. And may you bless them with your presence and your comfort. When they're down, Lord, may you lift them up. When they're weary and tired, may you strengthen them by your grace. And as we pray this for Harry and the family, so we remember others in our fellowship who have had to face bereavement and loss in recent days. Lord, we bring them before you and pray, Lord, that they may know something of your presence in the midst of that dark valley. May they sense something of the strong arms of the Good Shepherd about them. The one who will never leave them and never forsake them. Lord, we pray too for others who are ill and unwell, laid aside. And we think of still others who have family members who are struggling with ill health. Lord, we pray that you may rule and reign in the midst of all that's going on. May you grant to your people that peace that passes all understanding. May it guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus when those hearts feel assaulted and challenged by the ways of this world. Lord, we are conscious that we live in a world that is spiraling in many ways out of control, morally and spiritually. We sense something of your hand of judgment has gone against us here in the Western world. Lord, we pray that in your anger, Lord, you might remember mercy. We pray for the work of the gospel, not simply in our own fellowship and in our own community here, but we pray for the work of the gospel throughout our land. Lord, we pray for the establishment of new churches. We think of the great need that there is in these days. The Church of Jesus Christ appears to be on the retreat in some ways. And Lord, we pray that that retreat may be stopped and that many new churches and many new Christians may come into existence in the days that lie ahead. Lord, may you continue to build your church, that the very gates of Hades itself shall not prevail against it. We thank you for what you are doing in other parts of the world where we see the church flourishing and growing and many young people being swept into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that something of that may happen again here in our own land. We think of days past and the way in which you have richly blessed our land with preachers and teachers and missionaries and theologians and churches and had such an impact, a powerful impact for good upon our nation. Oh Lord, how we long to see such days again. Lord, we look to you and we cast ourselves upon you. And we pray that we might know something of your mercy in these days. Lord, help us as a fellowship to love one another. Strengthen us in faith and hope and love. Help us to live out this new identity that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to take our problems to you. Help us to trust you and to know you in a real and living way in our lives. Bless our families and our loved ones and those from whom we are separated, either by geography or in other ways. Lord, receive our thanks, receive our praise, receive our worship. Bless the preaching of your word this morning as the scriptures are open to us. May we hear your voice. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again, this time before Ray comes to speak to us. We're going to sing the hymn, O Breath of Life Come Sweeping Through Us. And it's a prayer for revival and renewal amongst the Lord's people. So let's stand to sing. And after this, Ray will come to bring God's word to us. When I read Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 13, absolutely every single thing in me cries, yes! That's the people that I want to walk a few miles in the faith with. And this is the kind of church that I want to be in. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a place where they are loved, held in high regard, honoured? A place where you're accepted just the way you are. You don't have to do anything, but just be you. And you're accepted. And you're loved. And there's room for God to change you. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to be in a place where the only rivalry is seen by people trying to outdo one another and putting others before themselves? Do you know, when I read this, everything within me says, yes, that's the place I want to gather. And those are the people that I want to worship with. Well, isn't it? You know, there may be some this morning who have gathered among us, and when they get out their scratcher, they thought to themselves, I would rather go and do X, Y, and Z than be with that lot at the church. No matter what one of these thoughts rings a bell with you, Let me say, God has something to say to us this morning. But let me come back to that in a minute. I love the late Dr. R.C. Sproul's description of Romans chapter 12. I don't know if you've ever read it, but he describes it as a specific, concrete, practical application. That's what we're looking at this morning. He says, and this after 11 chapters of the weightiest type of doctrinal study. And so, for the first 11 chapters of Romans, we've had the theory of it all. And here, in chapter 12, we have the practical application. What a wonderfully apt description of this text this morning. You know, while it's good to learn the theory, the theology of the Christian life, it's far better, as Dr. Sproul says, to live out the practical application of the Christian life. Because it's nothing short of transformational. It's life-changing. And that's at the heart of what Paul is saying here this morning. Christians' lives must be changed from what they once were. And God has decided that the forum in which this will take place is indeed the body of Christ, the church. And so I come back to my earlier point. If there's any this morning who's thinking, but hold on, Ray, our church is nothing like what Paul describes in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. Then I can tell you this morning, I know exactly what the problem is. Or should I say, who the problem is. And I know exactly who's to blame. And you might be surprised to hear that the problem is me. I'm the problem in this church. It's my wrong thinking. It's my wrong heart attitudes towards God's people that results in my wrong behaviour towards others in the church. And if this were a three-point sermon, I would say to you that Paul, in the text before us, is challenging our thinking. He's challenging our heart attitudes. And he's challenging our behaviour. Paul is telling us, I'm the problem in every church I've ever been in or will ever be in. And Paul knew it, because people are the same the world over. We are just sinners. And thank God some of us are saved by grace. Undeserved, unmerited grace. The great apostle Paul knew that I needed to have my thoughts challenged and corrected. Because it's only by having my thoughts challenged and corrected that my heart attitude can be changed. It's only by having my heart attitude changed that my behaviour could ever genuinely change. It will overflow out from a Christian life that is centred around Christ. It wouldn't overflow out of our default mode of being self-centred. The problem in this church is me. Paul is demonstrating to the church that we, the people, are the problem. And God wants to deal with us first. Before he sorts that lot over there out, who, by the way, God desperately needs to sort that lot out. So when I read verse 3, for the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned.
when I read verse 3, I'm compelled to ask myself, do I have a humble, teachable spirit? Do I readily receive others and what they have to say to me? Am I approachable? Am I grateful to those who have taken their lives in their hands? Who have spoken the truth in love to me when they have challenged me and spoken to me about my selfish or wrong attitudes or behaviour? Ask yourselves, do I really have a humble, teachable spirit? Because this is where Paul says in verse 3 that God wants to begin the journey. The journey of getting our doctrine, our thinking, our theology about self as a Christian and about church. And God wants to transform each of our thinking this morning. Changed thinking equals changed heart attitudes. Changed heart attitudes result in changed behaviour. Paul is prescribing a large piece of humble pie for every Christian. Humble pie as a wee bit. It reminds me of a wee bit like the spoonful of medicine we had when we were kids. Do you remember it? Your mammy would be there with this big bouthing spoonful, I don't know what, and she'd be saying, God, in your nose, you know, and shoving this down you, and you're thinking, whoa, this is mother. And it was the very, very best thing for us. Man, oh man, humble pie. It's hard to take. And if you've ever had to apologise to anyone, you'll know what I mean. And it's especially hard when you're in the right, which of course you always are. Friends, we're told to humble ourselves. Let's leave our hobnail bossy boots that we trample all over each other with at the foot of the cross. Let's take a leaf out of Moses' book as he took off his shoes in the place he met God. For that was holy. Christians are holy. The church is holy, and there is no place for hobnail and sensitive bossy boots in the church. Only feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace has any place in a Christian's life. Friends, God wants to do a work so deep in you and I that it transforms our lives forever. Do you know this transformation starts from the inside out? That's the way the Christian life is. It's not a life of do's and don'ts. Romans 12 is not a list of mere external compliances, a set of rules, as it were. If we just live by these rules, we'll please God. No, God wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to change our minds. That will change our hearts. That will change our behaviour. That's how God works from the inside out. Paul is teaching about a life which is dependent, intertwined as it were, a relationship that's inseparable with God, made possible through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and also his body, the church, is part of that. And that's why there's no solo commandos in the Christian life. There's no Rambos. There's no rambles. I think the English poet John Donne was right when in 1624 he wrote, "No man is an island." No man is an island of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. The Christian life is most certainly not, as the late James Montgomery Boyce puts it, it is not hyper-personalized religion. Jesus and me. Being a Christian is not radical individualism, where we make up our own rules for living with total disregard for the effect that it has on members of the body of Christ. Friends, I know church is hard work sometimes. I know that people can be bristly, that sometimes they come with all sorts of baggage. But God loves them. A bit late, a bit slow, but okay, I'm with you, brother. God loves his people. He loves the church. Friends, get on board. You need to work at it. That is what Paul is saying here. If you've ever seen a flock of geese flying in formation, you'll have seen them. It's like a sort of arrow shape, you know, this sort of arrow shape. And the formation, and of course the one at the front, I don't know if you realise, but he is punching a hole through the air that makes life that bit easier for those who would come behind him. And it's interesting because that's why they take turns each of going to the front, so that no one has to endure all the burden themselves. And it's in that way that they help each other get to their final destination. You know, sharing each other's burdens, making others' lives that wee bit easier, that bit better, that wee bit more fulfilling in their Christian lives and service. You know, that's a sign that the local church has grasped something of God's love for his people. Can I ask you this morning, have we grasped? Have we got it yet that the church is God's idea? It's not an idea spawned in 1843 in the Free Church, nor is it of an idea of any denomination. Are we fully committed to being part of a church where God can bring the gifts of all his people to bear in transforming our lives as he seeks to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, his Son? Do you know this includes discipline? God disciplines those he loves. And it's through the church that he does it. Are we open to God's discipline in our lives? Tell me, when was the last time you read Hebrews 13:17? When is the last time you read Hebrews 13:17? That talks about submitting to those the Lord has put over you in authority. Those who will have to give an account. Do we really believe in God's sovereignty? Do we really trust that God knows what he is doing? He has put those with the gifts that he has blessed them with in positions where he can serve the church. Friends, we can choose to live our lives as Christians at arm's length from other Christians. It can be a defense mechanism because of hurt and rejection. Or as David was sharing last week, He said, you know, Christ doesn't want you to bring a sacrifice. He wants you to be a sacrifice, your whole life lived out for His glory. Friends, it's not about us anymore. It's about what Christ would do in and through others and through us. David said we could leave here having listened to just another sermon. We could leave the same people. Week in and week out we hear sermons, and I wonder how often we leave the same person we came in. Is God speaking to you this morning about your commitment, your function, your plan, your purpose, your place in His body? Church is God's chosen instrument of blessing. And His people are the vessels that He wants to use to help change our stinking thinking. He wants to change our stinking thinking into Holy Spirit Bible thinking. Thinking that changes heart attitudes and that transforms outward behaviour. Verse 4 and 5 says that we, though we are many, are one body and individually members of one another. Did you know that I belong to you? Did you know that? And did you know that you belong to me? Isn't that amazing? I said to some of the young lads last week or the week before, we are such a diverse mishmash of people that where they're not a God, we have nothing in common. And yet, here we are. Beloved. Loved one of another. Belonging to one another. I delighted to see David welcoming back Douglas and Talitha and the family, because, like David, I missed them desperately. I was delighted they were able to go and enjoy a blessed time with family, but we missed them. Because when you love God's people, you're inextricably linked heart to heart. Something happens when you pray for people. You care for them. Friends, time's going. I have so much more to say. And I don't think I'm going to be able to do it justice. That'll be for another day. In closing, God loves people. He loves His children. He would have you and me work at it. And so I say to you, God loves me. You just have to work at it. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for your goodness to us. In this life, we deserve nothing, and in Christ, you have given us everything. We thank you so much for the church with all the many, many wonderful gifts. We pray that you, O God, would help us see what our gift is, where our place in the church is, whether it be encouraging one another, serving one another, praying for one another, providing for the needs of one another. Lord, would you show us? Would you put a love in our hearts for people? You are a God of love. You say to us that how can we love God who we cannot see when we do not love our brother who we do see? God, would you help us? We need you. The fellowship needs you. Would you bind us together with cords of love that will never be broken? Would we be known here at Christ Church, Edinburgh, as the disciples of Christ by our love one for another? May we seek with everything within us to make Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 13, would we as individuals do our bit before you, O God, to make that a reality? To make church a place that people can grow in their love, their knowledge, and their faith of God? Would we encourage one another in our faith? And all the more as we see our Lord Jesus Christ approaching on that day. Hear our prayers. Forgive our many sins. For we ask it for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you join with me in standing to worship God as we sing, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe"? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.